I've never been overly creative with titles of sermons or homilies, and I have opted not to use them most of the time. But if I was going to title this sermon today, I would probably title it "The Boy Who Didn't Want to Go to a Party." It's a very interesting passage that we're going to talk about today, because I've heard many sermons over my lifetime of one of these three passages. Somebody wants to talk about how that God is going after each one of us that's lost, so they can go after the lost coin or the lost sheep. Or we hear a sermon perhaps about the repentance of the son who had squandered his father's money. And there's all kinds of sermons I've heard. But when I began to look at this passage as a whole, as opposed to three individual stories, I began to wonder how they interrelated. Because see, on certain levels, they don't work. Because we can talk about the son who has squandered his living, came to his senses in the pigsty, and decided it was time to go back home. And the coin can't really make a decision to go back home, right? I mean, the coin can't repent, so how is the son like the coin? Because then you talk about the lostness. Well, what does it mean to be lost? Well, the sheep wandered off because he was hungry and does what sheep do, and they eat. You know, they just sort of keep eating until they look up and go, uh-oh. And then they just go back to eating because they really don't care, because they have no fear, because they don't know to fear, because they're not the brightest creatures God made. Coins, however, have no intelligence whatsoever. So the worst they can do is roll if you drop them. Most of the time, they just fall flat. So what is a coin, a sheep, and a son have in common? And why does Jesus tell those stories right now? As I pondered this week, I wanted to look back at the beginning. I really began to focus on the beginning and the end of this passage. Why is Jesus telling these stories? Well, you see, Jesus was hanging out with people of poor character. Depending on what translation you look at, these were people that were maybe a little rough around the edges. These were ones who were not recognized as being wanted in polite society. So Jesus was eating and drinking with them. Then those in the polite society said, we don't like that. We don't like the fact that Jesus is hanging out with these people. So when they're grumbling and saying that Jesus shouldn't be hanging out with those people, Jesus tells them this story, or actually these three stories all in a row. And the last part, the very last part, you have the father turning to the son who's refusing, not the one that left, not the one that was lost, like the coin or the sheep, but the one that was with him always, who decided to leave and not participate in the party. You see the father turning to him and saying, "You are always with me." So let's take a look at all of this. If we're not going to think about repentance, we're not going to talk about lostness, what are we going to talk about? I think the whole message here that Jesus was trying to describe was separation. Not necessarily why the separation was there, but there was separation. My daughter, Jessie, who most of you know, joined the church last week. When she was about 25, she decided to go teach English in Korea. And so she lived for 2 years in South Korea. And she wasn't lost. I knew exactly where she was. But we weren't together. We were separated because she lived on the other side of the planet. Now, thankfully, we have technology like Skype, so I could actually see her, but we could not be in community together. We couldn't touch each other. We couldn't hug each other. We couldn't share a meal together. We were separated. The coin was separated from the woman. The sheep was separated from the shepherd. The boy was separated from his father. I think these are stories about separation. Remember, they were grumbling because he was hanging out with people. Think about this. Okay, we don't use this term much anymore, at least I don't. But when I was in high school and college, we hung out a lot. And I remember my parents asking me, well, what are you doing? Well, we're hanging out. Well, what does that mean? Well, we're just hanging out. Well, what does that mean? Well, we're together. We were a bunch of people who were friends, and we all just hung out. Sometimes we might eat. Sometimes we might watch a movie. Sometimes we might not do anything but listen to music. But we were together. We were in community. So Jesus was hanging out, and the Pharisees didn't want him to hang out with those people. The stories are stories of separation. You know, it's really interesting that the Pharisees were grumbling about who Jesus was inviting in to be a part of the community. One of the most hated groups around the Jews were the Samaritans. They just did not like one another. And one of the reasons they didn't like one another is, if you remember back, all these stories tie in. Do you remember back a couple months ago, we talked about Daniel and how that Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, conquered Jerusalem and took all of the leading people of Israel away into exile for 70 years. But then eventually they were allowed to immigrate back to Jerusalem and to Israel. But when they immigrated back, they realized that the Samaritans had stayed. And the Samaritans had stayed and said, now this is our land and God is our God. And you're not welcome here now. And the Samaritans grumbled because God allowed the Jews to come back. And that created tension between the two groups. And now you have the Jews grumbling about Jesus talking about bringing other people into the kingdom. You have the elder brother who is bothered by the fact that his father killed the fatted calf when the wayward son came home. And he says, but you never gave me a gift to let me even have a goat with my friends. But the father says to him, you are with me always. But the brother refuses to go into the party, and he won't go in. So the father goes out of the party to where the brother is and tries to explain to him that everything I have is yours. You can have anything you want. We are always in community. We are always together. This passage is left open-ended. We don't know, do the brothers ever reconcile? Does he come to the party? Does the father go back in the party? What happens with the lady and her coin? Does she lose it again? Is she just clumsy and drops things all the time? Or does she spend it on something frivolous and it goes away and never comes back? These stories are open-ended so that we can read ourselves into these stories. Who do we relate to? Who do you relate to in these stories? Do you relate to the sheep wandering off, not knowing any better what you're doing? Sometimes I do. Do you relate to the son who's wandered off and wandered back? Or do you relate to the older brother who's grumbling about the fact that those people get my brother who left and he made a choice to do something wrong, and now you're letting him back in and having a party? Do we relate to the brother, or do we relate to the father? Running after both sons, running out to greet the one that was wayward and running back to find the one who refuses to come in. All of these stories are open-ended, but all of these stories focus on the one thing. When the separation is ended, when we are together with God and together with each other, it is a party. It's ridiculous to think if you lost one coin, you're going to call all your neighbors and throw a party. You just blew the coin you bought. It's ridiculous to leave 99 sheep in the middle of a field and go after one. Those are ridiculous things. But guess what? The love of God is ridiculous. It's fantastic. And that's the point that Jesus is trying to make. So whether you are the lost coin, the lost sheep, or the grumbling Pharisee elder brother, it doesn't matter. What matters is being together with God. And when you are with God, it is a party. It is a life of celebration. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.